Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa Parivakacharya Surarasat, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki, Ananta Koti Vaishnav Indiki, Iskon Fongda Charya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Prem Sikha Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shireta Gadada Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vinda. All glories to the Samra devotees, all glories to the Samra devotees, glories to the Samra devotees, glories to Shashi Guru and Gauranga. Hari Hari Bol. At least there's some people here in this weather. It's so cold. Coming from the tropic, really, this is terrible. So read it from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 13, Text 31. Word for word. Swadhamstraya, by his own tusks, Udritya, raisin, Mahim, the earth, Nimagnam, submerged, Saha, he, Utita, gotten up, Samru Roche, appeared very splendid. Rasaya, from the water. Tatra, there. Api, also. Daityam, unto the demon. Gadaya, with the club. Apatantam, rushing towards him. Sunaba, the wheel of Krishna. Sandipita, glowing. Tivra, fierce. Manio, anger. Swadam Shrayodrita Mahim Nimagnam. Sa utita samru ruche rasaya. Tatrapi daityam gadaya patantam. Sunaba sandipita tivramanyo. Sadam Strayodritya Mahim Nimagnam. Sautita Samru Ruche Rasaya. Tatrapi daityam gadaya patantam. Sunabha sandipita tivramanyu. Svadam shrayod ritya mahim nimagnam. Sautita samruruche rasaya. Tatrapi daityam gadaya patantam. Sunabha sandipita tivramanyo. Svadam shrayodritya mahim nimagnam. Sautita samruruche rasaya. Tatrapidaityam garayapatantam. Sunabha sandipita tivramanyo. Svadam shraya yudhitya mahim nimagnam. Sautita samruruche rasaya. Tatrapi daityam gadaya patantam. Sunabha sandipita tivramanyo. Svadam shrayo rajya mahim nimagnam. Sautita samruruche rasaya. Tatrapi daityam gadaya patantam. Sunabha sandipita tivramanyo. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Lord Bohr very easily took the art on his tusk and got it out of the water. Thus he appeared very splendid. Then, his anger glowing like the Sudarshan wheel, he immediately killed the demon, Hiranyaksha, although he tried to fight with the Lord. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the Vedic literatures describe the incarnation of Lord Varaha, Bohr, in two different devastations, namely the Shakshusha devastation and the Swayambhuva devastation. This particular appearance of the Bohr incarnation actually took place in the Swayambhuva devastation, when all planets other than the higher ones, Jana, Mahar, and Satya, merged in the water of devastation. This particular incarnation of the Bohr was seen by the inhabitants of the planets mentioned above. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti suggests that the sage Maitreya amalgamated both the Bohr incarnations in different devastations and summarized them in his description to Vidura. Om Jnana Tirmanasya Gnanjana Shalakaya Saksham Tamyena Tasmai Shri Gurubhena Maha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadadi Svapadantikam Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Daita Gadada Sri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakti Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna everybody. Thank you for being present in this weather. So the pastimes of Lord Varaha is very wonderful, beautiful. And it's so interesting to hear. Stated that the Lord comes for two fundamental reasons. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharat abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmani shujami aham. Whenever there is a decline in religious principles, I advent myself. And paritra naya sadunam vinashaya shadushkritam samstapanarthaya sambhavami yuga yuga. Also, in order to protect the devotees, the sadhus, and to annihilate the miscreants, I advent myself. There are other reasons, which maybe we'll touch upon a little bit, and that is Kunti Devi was praying to Lord Krishna. She says, Tatra Paramahamsanam. You come to reveal the art of devotion to the Paramahamsas. That's the reason for your appearance, told him. And then within the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it stated that the Lord comes to enact pastimes with his devotees. Enact wonderful pastimes with his devotees. But then there is another hidden one, and that is he also come to fight with his devotees. Because in the spiritual world there's no fighting there. See? No fighting there. So the propensity to the fight is actually hidden within us too. And sometimes you want to exhibit that fighting skills. And so the Lord comes. He knew that he'll be getting a good fight with this demon here on the Yaksha. Because apart from his demoniac tendencies and act and so, we know this is Leela. And we know the reason behind it to Jai and Vijay. And also the Lord knows that, well, he'll get a good fight with his devotees, or hidden devotees, so to speak. So these are some of the reasons that, or these are the fundamental reasons the Lord advent himself. But coming to the text, we want to be focus on the text itself. And so it's stated that the boar very easily took the oart on his tusk and got it out of the water. So we can discuss the strength and power of the Lord. Swan. He appeared very splendid. We can discuss the beauty of the Lord. Then his anger glowing like the Sudarshan wheel. We can discuss the anger of the Lord. He immediately killed the demon, although he tried to fight with the Lord. So we could also describe the fighting power of the Lord. So the purport itself focused mostly on the when this pastime took place. And Srila Prabhupada mainly focused on that, and he gave two times, during the Swayambhuva Manu era and during the Shakshusha Manu era. There's 14 Manus in a day of Brahma, six have passed, and we are on the seventh. So the Shakshusha Manu, I think he was the fourth Manu. Okay, let us see. Not the fourth, but the sixth. So it stated Swayambhuva Manu, that was the first Manu, Swarochisa, Uttama, Tamasa, Raivata, Shakshusha. So this is the Manu he's speaking about. and Vaivashvata. So Vaivashvata Manu is the present Manu ruling. And the Manu usually rule for 308,448,000 years. And because it's stated that a Manu rules for 71 Mahayugas. Mahayugas means the amalgamate of the four yugas. And plus a Satyug. So I was trying to do a calculation to see if this is true, really. Last night, the other night, as I was reading the verse, I did a calculation. And maybe, can somebody pass this around? Maybe Prabhu? Yeah. I was just doing this. Yes. When I was young, you could just show devotees for a second, really. You know, how much it takes to really just get the figures correctly. And then as I was calculating, I got stuck at a figure, and I was wondering, well, my calculation went wrong, and I might have to. But then I remember it stated at the end of Brahma's day, there is an additional Satyuga. At the end of Brahma's day, there is an additional Satyuga. So when I added that Satyuga, the figure came out correct. And I said, wow. You know, Srila Prabhupada said that this is a scientific process, and you know, there's science behind everything in this process, really. So I said, let me figure out if this is exactly right. And so the age of the Manu rail is 308,448,000 human years. That's a long time. And with that, there are so many things we can calculate to. There's a whole art of doing it, really. So coming back to the point of Swayambhuva Manu and Shakshusha. So usually at the end of every Manu's appearance, there's what you call a devastation. But usually that devastation comes in the form of a flood or a deluge. See, you all must have heard of Noah's flood. See? So that every end of a Manu's reign, there's a huge flood. But Srila Prabhupada says specifically this pastime took place in Swayambhuva Manu's era, when the low planets were merged in the ocean. And so the earth was also there. And so Lord Varaha, Lord Brahma was wondering, well, how can this take place? And then this little boar appeared from his nostril, and then it grew in size. So like I said, we will discuss the strength of the Lord and the powerful. One time Sanjaya was speaking to Dhritarashtra, and he said, you don't know who you're talking to. In other words, Krishna was about to come to try to make peace. And Dhritarashtra was trying to tell Sanjaya was trying to console Dhritarashtra to listen to Krishna. He said that if the earth, with all its mountains and islands and trees and living entities, and all the planets and all the universes, and everything in the cosmos were to fit on one side of a scale, and you were to put Krishna on the other side of that scale, Krishna would topple that scale. See? So Sanjaya was trying to give Dhritarashtra wisdom, you know, the power of Krishna. You see? the power of Krishna. Krishna is the most powerful being in all the universes, material and spiritual. He is the most powerful person, the most powerful being. No one is equal to him, or no one is more powerful than him. See? Supremely powerful. So lifting this earth itself is really nothing. For us, it looks fantastic. It looks amazing, really, because the earth itself is pretty heavy, you know? You look at the earth, I mean, it's, see? But it's stated within this cosmos. I'll say cosmos, because we can define universe a little later on. It's stated that there is 2 trillion galaxies. Trillion galaxies. A galaxy is a cluster of solar systems. Like we're in this solar system, the sun and the planets, the moons, asteroids, comets, and so forth, come together to form the solar system, you see? And it's stated like 400 billion solar system within these galaxies. And there is 2 trillion galaxies that's perceptible or can be perceived through the Hubble microscope. Imagine they could see so many, 95 billion light years away. That's the incomprehensible distance. And I guess because we're so small, really, then it's even difficult for us to understand. But speaking about Krishna's strength, so Sanjay was telling Dhritarashtra that all these systems you put together on one side, and Krishna would topple them. So that's the power of Krishna. We find that when he took our reincarnation as Lord Ramachandra, and he was in Janastan. Janastan is a forest in southern India. And he was attacked by the Rakshasas, headed by Karan Dusasan. It stated that Lord Ramachandra shattered 14,000. Lord Ramachandra single-handedly shattered 14,000 Rakshasas. Imagine that. Stated when he was fighting with Ravana, he killed 2.5 lakhs of Ravana Rakshasas. Plus he killed Ravana and his contemporaries also. So the Lord is supremely powerful. When he was in Parshuram incarnation, Kartavirya Arjuna was so powerful. He was very powerful. He had 1,000 arms, I think. So imagine when he was wheeling that arrow, how fast he was moving with 1,000 arms. And Parshuram cut all of those arms out. And then he went on a killing spree, and it stated that he demolished the Kshatriya race for 21 times. 21 times. And the Kshatriyas are exceedingly powerful. And in earlier ages, the Kshatriyas were supremely powerful, very, very powerful. The fighting skills were incomprehensible. Kshatriyas, those days, like he also had killed Bali. But this is not Bali Maharaj, but the other Bali, Lord Ramachandra. You know about the pastimes. But it stated that Bali was so powerful that he used to jump from one side of the Indian Peninsula, in other words, from one side of the ocean to the other side. He used to exercise every morning. I mean, he would jump from one side of the Indian Peninsula to the next side. You're talking about maybe thousands of miles. So the beings in those days, that was in Treta Yuga, they were exceedingly powerful. One time it stated that Raja Bali, he grabbed Ravana under his armpit and circled the earth like three times, squeezing Ravana there. And Ravana was so powerful. We know Ravana was so powerful that he demolished the demigods. He defeated all the demigods. And so. Right, of course. Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha, they're supremely powerful. And in the form of Lord Narsingadev, we know how he demolished, in terms of demons. Yeah, that's true. Lord Narsingadev, he came and made Hiranyakashipu look like an insect. See? He threw him on his lap and tore his body. See? So powerful was the Lord incarnation as when he incarnated as Hiranyakashipu, as Parshuram, as Rama, supremely powerful. And when he came as Krishna himself, every day he was killing demons like they were just nothing. So many. So easily. See? And I mean, there were so many fights, so many challenges. So the Lord, in terms of his power, is supremely powerful. He is supremely powerful, and he brings joy to the devotees, because that's why the devotees surrender to him, because he protects us. Paritranaya sadunam, he protects the sadhus, see? And he vanquish the demons or whoever troubles the devotees. That's why even we should be very nice to our fellow devotees also, see? And be careful not to commit aparad and so forth, because then this is not so good. The Lord doesn't like this. See, blaspheming devotees, that would destroy our devotional creeper. So we've discussed the power of the Lord. Let us describe the beauty of the Lord. It's stated that even the boar, when it boar came, it was beautiful. See, I mean, you know, pigs usually don't look that fantastic, appealing, you know. But it's stated, here it's described that the boar was his appearance, actually. Anyhow, there was a special word here. I'm trying to find it. Let me see if I can find it. Okay, good. Splendid. Splendid. Gorgeous. Beautiful. Exquisite. These are words you could use to describe. And of course, we know that also there's no being that is more beautiful than Krishna or than the Lord. And even his features also, his forms. His incarnations are also beautiful forms. See? The Lord is so beautiful when he had the form of Mohini Murti, when he took the form of Mohini Murti. He was able to allure the great Lord Shiva.
After Lord Krishna, the next, forget about his different incarnations, but the next personality that is almost as powerful as Krishna is Lord Shiva. He is the closest person that is, he is the next most powerful being, you see. And Lord Shiva is not allured easily by women. Even it's one time Cupid tried to allure him. He was in meditation and Cupid tried to allure him with Maya Devi, some form. And Lord Shiva burnt Cupid and the Maya and everything, you see. So Lord, but when Lord Krishna took the form of Mohini Murti, even Lord Shiva was bewildered. He started to look, as soon as he started to look at Mohini Murti, he started to become allured. He started to follow her. And then you know the pastimes. He started to run after her. See? So this is one instance of the beauty of the Supreme Lord. When Supranaka, that's how you say the word, Supranaka or Supranaka, when she saw the beauty of Lord Ramachandra, she immediately fell in love with him. You see? And that was the cause of so many of these battles and everything, really, or partly. You see? She told her brother, Karan Dushan, that I was trying to get this beautiful girl for Ravana or something, and you know, she was lying, really. But really, when she saw the beauty of Lord Rama, she had wanted to marry him, you see. And then you know the story. Lord Rama and Lakshmana were making fun of her, and then they cut off her nose and so forth. It's beautiful. So that's one instance of the Lord's beauty. We know when Lord Chaitanya came. Chaitanya was so dazzling effulgent. He was so beautiful. When people see him, everyone was attracted to him. See, Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Krishna. I mean, he's the supreme beautiful person. It's stated his whole body is so beautiful and gorgeous. Every part of his body, you could describe it in volumes of books, how it's beautiful. With our limitations, sometimes it's difficult to understand. You know, you hear about his moon-like face and his raised nose and his lotus-like eyes and his legs like palm trees, his thighs, his so description, so beautiful. That thousands upon millions of Lakshmis undergo penance for millions of years just to associate with him. The gopis. Actually, some of the gopis were sages during the time of Lord Ramachandra. During the time of Lord Ramachandra, some of the gopis were sages. And when they saw the beauty of Lord Ramachandra, they were attracted to him. Imagine that, you see. And then they had wanted to embrace Lord Ramachandra, and he says, in my incarnation as Krishna, you would come. So that was one group of gopis also, see. But the gopis, they actually, when they were with Krishna, they actually wanted to course Lord Brahma. You gave us eyes that are winking, and every time the eyes are winking, we're losing momentum there. We're losing time in seeing the beauty of Krishna. So you can imagine what is that? The gopis are saying that the Creator Brahma, he gave us, make us our eyes to wink, and every time our eyes wink, it closes and we cannot see the beauty of Krishna. Why is this? You see? So so the Lord features are so attractive, so beautiful. See? So we say we'll speak also about the Lord anger. We can even speak about his Sudarshan chakra also. See? In this way, this is how we keep focus on the class and on the topic. Sometimes I get complained that some devotees, they're jumping all over the place when they're speaking, really, you know. But so we try to keep focus on the topic itself. It's important. So it stated the Lord's anger. He exhibited his anger. And his anger can also be very powerful. When Lord Ramachandra, when Varuna did not want to give way to the ocean for him to build that bridge, it stated that Lord Ramachandra's anger was so ferocious. See, it was so powerful that he could have dried up the ocean. He was actually going to dry up the ocean. And then Varuna immediately come and begged him, "Oh, what do you want? I want to build a bridge on this ocean." So he allowed it, really. So the Lord anger can be very powerful also. As Parshuram, when he got angry with the Kshatriyas, he was annihilating them. See, like that. And then even Lord Krishna, you know, we've seen his anger sometime. One time when Bhishma was shooting arrows at Arjuna, he couldn't bear the pain that Arjuna was getting. He ran down from his chariot and took a wheel, running at Bhishma, even breaking his own promise to fight, you see? So the Lord's anger is supremely powerful also. And so when Varaha would exhibit some of this anger on Hiranyaksha, be powerful, see? So then it's stated, so he describes, like his anger glowing like the Sudarshan wheel. So the Sudarshan wheel is not really a main point of focus here. It's just compared. The anger of the Lord was compared to him. But it's stated that the Lord Sudarshan chakra has 16 spokes. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it's stated that no entity can vanquish that Sudarshan chakra. It's so powerful. It's stated they're not even 1/16 the power of it. It's so powerful. And that Sudarshan chakra is so powerful that it could destroy anything in its way. One time, Lord Krishna says he's going to give Ashwatthama a boon. He says, "Ashwatthama, I'm going to give you a boon. What do you want?" Ashwatthama says, "I want your Sudarshan chakra." Imagine, you know, I mean, this, you can see the mentality of Ashwatthama. He says, "I want your Sudarshan chakra." And Lord Krishna says, "Okay, take it." So Lord Krishna sent the Sudarshan chakra to Ashwatthama, and the wheel was rotating around Ashwatthama. So Ashwatthama tried to grab it. So when Ashwatthama grabbed the chakra, he can't move it. He couldn't move the chakra. It was so powerful, you see, and maybe heavy and everything. Ashwatthama tried. He tried again. He tried many times, but he couldn't budge the chakra. So then Lord Krishna says, "Ashwatthama, neither Pradyumna, nor Anirudh, nor my other sons like Samba or anybody else, even my friend Arjuna, never ask me for this Sudarshan chakra. Why you are asking me?" Ashwatthama said, Krishna, I would take that chakra from you and challenge you for a fight. And then after challenge you, I would kill you. And then I would rule the world. Imagine, you see, so Ashwatthama was revealing his mentality to Krishna. You know, he's saying, I would take that chakra from you, kill you, and then rule the world. You see, so Krishna had to laugh with the folly of Ashwatthama. See, later he would curse Ashwatthama when he killed the sons of Drupadi. So the chakra itself is powerful. And so we can go. And then, of course, the last point was the Lord as death. He vanquished Hiranyaksha. See? And the Lord says, time, I am death in the form of time. Kalosmi asmi. How did that verse go? Kalosmi asmi, whatever. Anyhow, so these are some of the qualities of the Lord. But the Lord has innumerable qualities. Some of you might have known some of them. Maybe I could, before I take any comment or thing, I will just run through some of the qualities of the Lord. Beautiful bodily features. All his features are beautiful. Auspicious characteristics. Pleasing to everyone. Effulgent, strong, ever youthful. A wonderful linguist. Truthful, pleasing talker, fluent, highly learned, highly intelligent, genius, artistic, extremely clever, expert, grateful, determined, expert of time, speaks on the authority of the scriptures, pure, self-controlled, steadfast, forbearing, forgiving, grave, self-satisfied, possess equilibrium, magnanimous, religious, heroic, compassionate, respectful, gentle, liberal, shy, protector of the surrendered souls, happy, well-wisher of the devotees, controlled by love, all auspicious, most powerful, all famous, popular, partial to the devotee, very attractive to the women, all worshipable, all opulent, all honorable, the supreme controller. And then I'll go through the last four. He performed wonderful pastimes with his devotees. He's surrounded by devotees who love him. When he plays his flute, he attracts the whole world, and his beauty cannot be compared to anything in the whole universe. So I'll stop here. If there's any correction or question or whatever, take it.
It seems that the previous verses were describing how the earth has fallen into the Garbhadak ocean, and now
Varaha.
Varaha
lifted it. And then he killed
But, yeah, what's this with Hiranyakashipu? What did he do that Varaha wanted to kill him? All of a sudden he appears in this verse.
Hiranyakashipu.
Hiranyaksha.
Yeah, Hiranyaksha. They're the two demon brothers.
Yeah.
Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyaksha, he was going to fight with the Lord. So like yesterday, Ram Govinda so nicely explained the pastime mostly. And the reason I didn't describe the pastimes of Lord Vara and Hiranyaksha is because so many devotees have been saying it all the time, really. So I was trying to stick to the verse. But anyhow, Hiranyaksha, he wanted to fight, and he was threatening all the demigods and everything. Then he threatened Varuna, and Varuna says that you go into the ocean, Garbhodaka ocean, you're going to find Vishnu in the form of a boar, Varaha, and you'll meet your match there. I'm an old man, you know? And then this verse describes how the Lord actually killed him.
So he wasn't actually like chastising him for something he did. He was just, it was just a timely arrangement that Hiranyaksha appeared and knew that Krishna, you know, our boar, the boar would want
to fight. Well, in other words,
he didn't do anything to warrant.
There's a long conversation here.
And coming up?
Yeah, in the 18th chapter, you'd get the details of the fight and everything. But I didn't want to touch upon it because other devotees would be giving class, and that usually we should not infringe on the other's devotees. We can touch upon it briefly, but not you know, overtake it. Yes, Mataji?
Hare Krishna. Just in the beginning, you were speaking about how powerful demons can be.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about the Christians when sometimes they are very offensive against devotees.
They are.
And also when I'm in Sankirtan and they call me demon. I was reading about all this before last week, and I was thinking they don't have an idea. If I was as powerful as a demon, how much, you know?
What do you do with them?
What could I do, you know? I'm not a demon, the minimum scale.
You see, I call the Christians kindergarten spirituals, you know? I mean, really, you don't want to be offensive, but really, they're, you know, I mean, spirituality in infancy, really, you know? And so, so forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, like that. Yes, Prabhu? You have a question, Pran?
No.
Comment?
Give me one conclusion we can think for the rest of the day.
Pardon me?
Give one conclusion of her question or anything that we can think.
So what we can focus about the beautiful qualities of the Lord. And that can keep us in, you know.
No, because the momentum is going about the conversation between Varahadev and Hiranyaksha. What ignited Hiranyaksha, he was saying so many things, didn't get any attention. He said, hey, animal. He literally insulted the Lord. Nothing happened. But only one thing he said, he had a red eye. What is it?
He said one thing that...
Yeah. He said, perhaps if you are God, do you pay attention even to your devotee? I don't think so. Saying so many things, you don't... As soon he mentioned the devotee, that he doesn't pay attention, Varahadev's eye became red.
Yeah.
We can meditate on that.
Well. So let us meditate and be nice to the Vaishnavas.
Don't insult devotees.
Don't insult devotees. Don't chastise, if you're not an authority, you know, don't commit offenses. That's the mad elephant's game there. Anyhow, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you guys for listening, really. I mean, in this cold